Today, we are talking about contacts. You know, we talked about communication the first week. We talked about cash the second week, which Tim was elated he got that topic. And then, because he's like, really? Is there any other? I go, look, man. And he goes, you skipped an order, didn't you? I go, no, I can show you it's written down. It's communication and then cash. Because when we look into relationships, the first thing that usually gets in the way of relationships is communication. If there's going to be a breakdown in that relationship, it's a breakdown in communication. We fail to talk or we fail to talk appropriately. We say things we shouldn't say, and we say things that we should say, but with the wrong tone. And then sometimes some say things out of full-on love, and then they mean it, but the other person takes advantage of them. And so communication is probably the number one, not probably, it is the number one reason that relationships fail, is lack of communication. The second reason that relationships will fail or struggle is cash. Listen, when finances get hard, things get in the way, money gets in the way, people get selfish, they can't have what they want, and then all of a sudden the cash isn't there, and man, that relationship starts falling apart. And so cash was number two, and just reaffirm with Tim when you see him, hug him and say, man, you did a great job, but it was number two. And so, and he'll enjoy that. Pray for him, though. He's in China still, is he not? He's in the air on the way to Vietnam. So make sure that you guys keep him in prayer as he is traveling, because he'll be away for a little while. And then today we're going to talk about contacts. Not contacts that go in the eyes, but contacts, people that you associate yourself with. Because that's the third biggest downfall in a relationship is contacts. If you associate yourself with the wrong people, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. And you go, well, I don't have an issue. I love those people. But maybe your spouse has an issue with who you have as contacts. Facebook. Facebook was in out of 54% of divorces that happen every year, Facebook was in almost every case. Facebook was mentioned as being an issue. I'm just telling you, Facebook, and by the way, Facebook, people think that it creates a family. It really doesn't. I know some of you are like, well, I love my Facebook family. Well, you go on loving them. But here's the reality. All that is a bunch of information, and we've replaced that information with hands-on contact. Brother, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Let's have a conversation. And then we go, great, and we both pull out our phones and text one another while we're sitting beside each other. Right? I'm telling you, I watched a movie, Mom's Night Out. Watched it last night with my daughters. Having three women in the house, chick flicks are like they went out. And then I go, wait a minute, and I go, and now we have a male. Well, okay, he's almost a dog. I don't know if you'd really call him a dog. And I thought, okay, man, I'm gonna win out because I got a little more male testosterone in here now. Listen, he's 5 pounds. He can't even get out of his own way. And so we watch chick flicks at our house. But anyway, we're watching it, and the ladies are all in this big meeting, right? They have this book club, and there's probably 50 women in there, 40, whatever it is. And there's three women sitting there. Two of them were sitting side by side, and they're talking, obviously not saying a word. They're texting. And so they're just, the whole thing time, they're texting back and forth. And then what do? Hey, let's add another person in. So there's one across the room. And they add her into their conversation. So now they're all talking on text on their phone. It's just really interesting because that's what we do in today's society. But that's not real, guys. Here's what happens. I've had some people go, well, just text me or email me. And I go, no, we're gonna call and we're going to talk this one out. No, we can just do it over text. No. Because you need to hear the tone of my voice. You need to understand how this is coming across. You need to understand that When I send something, if I'm irritated, you need to hear the irritation. If I'm being funny, you need to hear the sarcasm. You don't need to, because when we read things, we read into it, don't we? We read into it on the assumption of how we look at you or how we think you feel about the problem. And so if we're not careful, we miss the reality of communicating with our contacts. So as I was looking at this and bringing this together, because one of the biggest problems that we have, even as Christians, and I'm going to say it's probably the biggest problem as Christians, is Christians get lonely. Because they go, I don't have no friends. And so since the church isn't stepping up to fill the void in the friendships that are lacking, or maybe you're not stepping up and joining the friends. Maybe that's what it is. You know, let's look at it both ways. And then you go, well, you know what? I'm going to be friends with this one over here, but they're friends of the world, not of God. But they fill that void of your loneliness, and so you attach to them, or maybe they attach to you. And then all of a sudden, you're doing things that you normally would never have done, all in the name of friendship. I'm telling you guys, you have to be so careful who you come in contact with, because those contacts will make a difference. Now, listen, a true friend, you can't beat a true friend. I mean, a true friend you cannot beat. Earl C. Willer tells a story of two men who grew up as best friends. Though Jim was just a little older than Philip and often assumed the role of leader, they did everything together. They even went to high school and college together. After college, they decided to join the Marines. By a unique series of circumstances, they were sent to Germany together, where they fought side by side in one of history's ugliest wars. One sweltering day during a fierce battle amid heavy gunfire, bombing, and close-quarters combat, they were given the command to retreat. As the men were running back, Jim noticed that Philip had not returned with the others. Panic gripped his heart. Jim knew if Philip was not back in another minute or two, then he wouldn't make it. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go after his friend, but the officer forbade the request, saying it would be suicide. Risking his own life, Jim disobeyed and went after Philip. His heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out for Philip. A short time later, his platoon saw him hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body in his arms. Jim's commanding officer upbraided him, shouting that it was a foolish waste of time and an outrageous risk. "Your friend is dead," he added, "and there was nothing you could do." "No, sir, you're wrong," Jim replied. "I got there just in time. Before he died, his last words were, 'I knew you would come.'" A true friend is what we need. Now, Jesus says that we have a friend in him. He says a true friend would give their life for you. And then, as he's talking to the disciples in John, he says a true friend would give their life for you. They would die for you. And then he turns around and calls them friend. What he was telling them was, "I am a true friend. I'm going to give my life for you." And he calls them friend. So when we look at these relationships, we look at our contacts. Who is our friend? It's so funny. How many have Facebook? Be honest. I'll share a story with you. I have a pastor friend of mine. His name's Eddie Lyons. He was actually my pastor in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, when I was going to Bible college, and his son James has Down syndrome, and but man, I'm gonna tell you, like, James was voted king at his senior class, voted him as king for was it prom or what, or the homecoming, whatever it is, and so they gave him a crown and everything, and it was in the gym, and so obviously they go up and he's standing there and he's just beaming, you know, and he's King Jesus, or King James, I'm sorry, and he's got this crown on, and the other day James did something wrong, and so Eddie looked at him and said, "Did you?" And asked him what he had done, if he had done that. And then he said he'd seen the look in James' eyes, and he goes, "Now tell the truth." And then the demeanor changed in James, and he put his head down. As a matter of fact, he went, "Oh, I hate that word, truth." Tell the truth. So how many have Facebook? All right, how many of you got a thing on there that said from somebody, I'm going through my list of friends and weeding them out, and if you don't do da-da-da-da, you're going to be deleted. Anybody seen that one coming? I'm like, delete me, dude. I'm not even responding to that. Right? And besides that, you asked me to be your friend. What are you doing? Well, right? So because I actually got it from a good friend of mine, and I called him, and I go, man, what, are you going to delete me as your friend? He goes, oh, no, not you. He goes, it didn't reference you. And I went, oh, well, I was just making sure. I go, because, man, if you deleted me as a friend, I wouldn't know how to live. And I was busting his chops, you know. A true friend, one of the most precious gifts we have in life is a true friend. Friendship brings joy and heartache, amen? Because then there's some people that I just love, 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 and then I just want to love to kill them in the next breath. It's like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And then the next minute they're there. I have a friend that he and I have been friends for 20 years now. And he's 67, maybe 68, right, roughly. Man, I'm going to tell you what. He calls me. If he hasn't heard from me in a while, he's like, man, I haven't heard anything from you. How you doing? How's it going? Everything going okay? When I go to North Carolina, if I don't see anybody else, I make sure that I see my friend. And we go out to lunch. And I go, listen, I'm going to buy you lunch. And he has his own business. And he goes, oh, no, you're not. And I go, dude, you're shorter than me. And what are you going to do about it? And you're older than me. What are you going to do about it? And he goes, do you really want to know? And I go, no, you can buy. That's all right. And then when I'm done, he always wants to slip money in my pocket. He's like, man, you're doing the work of the Lord. I just want to honor you for that. And I go, man, you don't have to do that. He goes, I know that. And he all the time calling me. The other day I needed a favor and I wanted him to go, and it was an hour drive one way. And I called him up and I said, listen, man, I need you to do me a favor, but it's in such and such town. Can you do it? And he goes, yeah, no problem. Like, he didn't even think about it. It was just, no problem. When do you want it done? That's a true friend. And when you see him, and they, how many remember David Farrell? David Farrell, he's a professional comedian, and he travels all around. He's been on Comedy Central. He's been nominated, I think, somewhere around 7 times for Clean Comedian of the Year. He's been all on all kinds of radios and so on and so forth. And David is a true friend of mine. And it's one of those deals where we didn't talk for probably 5 or 6 years, 7 years, didn't even see each other, just through circumstances, not that anything was planned. And then we finally seen him, and when we seen him, it was like there was never a day that went by. You know what I'm saying? We picked up right where we left off. True friend. That's what we're talking about. And so, you know, they bring heartache, they bring joy. But man, we need them. We can't exist on our own. But then we have friends that aren't so good. You know, then we have friends that we need to avoid. 1 Corinthians 15:33. If you just want, you don't have to look through there, we'll buzz through this, but write it down because I want you to know where these passages are. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's saying, listen, if you associate with the wrong people, don't, oh, and here's what I love. We'll get this. Well, I'm trying to win them to the Lord. No, you're getting drawn in. They're going to win you before you win them. And no, you know, it's okay. Well, listen, you guys have heard me say this before. When you go into the barn, the cows don't come out smelling like you. You get what I'm saying? Listen, they don't. How many have ever seen somebody that came out of a bar and you were talking to them and they reeked of cigarette smoke, right? You've ever been there? You're like, man, you stink. Okay, nobody ever says that, but the reality is, listen, the bar didn't come out smelling like them. And so we have to be very careful. Evil company corrupts good habits. You will be drawn down before you pull them up. And you go, well, how do we witness to them? How do we make the difference? You go to them with a group of you. You got to go in numbers. You got to go in strength. And you love on that person. But you have to stay in good company. Because if you do not stay in good company, The bad will draw you to even worse. One pastor put it this way. The people that you spend time with that damage, deface, deform, degrade, demean, demoralize, disfigure, harm, hurt, impair, infect, ravage, reduce, ruin, violate, and pull you down are bad company. I'm guessing he went through the alphabet because it was all in order. But his point is right. You can't. And some of you go, well, I'm an adult. Yes, you are. But if you act like a child, there's a problem. You cannot mess with the devil by yourself and think you're going to win. It's not going to happen. He will pull you down and hold you under, and he will eliminate you. There, when the Simpsons first came out, my brother-in-law loved the Simpsons. What are they on there now? Their 90th year? I think they've had, what, 2,000 episodes or something? Like, I don't know. I've seen it advertised. I haven't watched it since literally the first year or two that it came out, and I didn't watch it on a regular basis because I just found them annoying, you know. And but there was one episode where Bart got F's and he was failing. Does anybody ever see that one or remember seeing that one? Praise Jesus. Nobody in the room. They're all going, you just trashed the show. I'm not going to admit I watch it. And so it's a horrible show, by the way. And so at any rate, Bart goes to the nerd of the school. Right? Because the nerd is the smartest, the nerd, man, he's getting straight A's. And so he goes to the nerd, and the nerd is Ralph. Ralph, and I had to write his last name, Wiggums. Ralph Wiggums. So he goes to Ralph, and Ralph's alone. He has no friends. He's a nerd. He doesn't have any friends. And so he's the outcast in school. And so Bart goes to him, and Bart says, hey, listen, if you help me to pass, then we'll bring you in with our gang. You can be a part of our group. And Ralph's going, really? I can be a part of the popular group, you know? Because, by the way, being known and popular doesn't mean it's a good thing. Just saying. And so Bart's like, you can be a part of it. Well, it wasn't long before Ralphie was partaking in all the bad that Bart was doing. It wasn't long before Ralphie was pulled down and he was no longer the good kid that made good judgments. And then his grades started going down. And so now his grades are going down, Bart's grades are going down, and both morality is going down. You had the one good that jumped in there and they corrupted him. I'm telling you, evil company will bring you down into corruption. And you know how I know it's true? The Bible says it. We can't even argue it, because I know some of you are going to sit down and go, well, that's not true. I have this friend, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you can't deny what the Word of God says is truth. We become like our friends, like those we hang out with the most. You are going to become like them. 2 Peter 3:17 says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. I'm telling you, we can be drawn away by ungodly people. We can, and by the way, just because you're not doing anything bad, if you're not living for Jesus, that's just as bad. You get what I'm saying? If they just pull you away from the Word of God, that's bad. If they pull you away from the Word of God and then pull you into causing trouble, that's worse. But if they pull you away from God, listen, especially you teenagers, listen to me. Some of you teenagers, you desire to be wanted. You desire to be liked. You desire to be accepted. And then you're willing to do whatever it takes to get that attention that you want. And unfortunately, it's usually bad. It's usually bad. But mom, dad, listen to me. You got to hear what I'm about to say, because now this is going to get personal. And I know you guys think, wow, he was preaching and it got personal. But listen. What type of relationship do you have with your children that they know they're loved, they know they're wanted, they know they're accepted, they know that they belong, that they don't have to go out into the world to find that? What type of relationship are you giving them? And listen, grandma, grandpa, you can make the difference too. Invest into those children so that they don't have to go out and find love somewhere else. They know exactly where they can find it, and it's good, and it's wholesome, and it's desirable. We need to do that. And some of you in the church go, well, I don't have any kids around me. I'm telling you, look around. There's children around you right now. The older needs to build relationships with the younger. Love on the children. Make a difference. When I first started going to church, he's passed away now, Mr. Tenen. He would come up to me, and he'd put his hand on my shoulder, and I'm 27 years old, newly saved. And he'd put his hand on my shoulder, and he'd say, Brother John, I'm praying for you. And then he'd give me a Bible one weekend. He bought me this study Bible, and he gave it to me. And he goes, Brother John, I'm praying for you. And he would do that. He'd come up to me when he'd see me. And I mean, soon he was just an elderly gentleman. And he walked slow. And he's an old southerner, so he talked slow. And man, when I seen him, I immediately just slowed right down to him. Why? Man, I loved his touch on my shoulder. I loved his words of affirmation. I loved to know that he was praying for me. And you know, eventually, his words were ingrained into me. Just the, I love you, how are you doing, I'm praying for you. Man, I'm proud of the things that you've been doing because I was growing spiritually. And he's like, I'm praying for you and I'm praying for your wife. And man, all of a sudden, some of the things that I would do, man, I'd hear his words ring in my ears and that conviction. And all of a sudden, I'd put the brakes on and go, man, I don't want to disappoint him. It made a difference. And he wasn't even there to go, you shouldn't do that. He just told me he loved me and never missed that opportunity. We can build these relationships that the children today, that why do you think children stray off? Why do you think adults stray off? Why do you think Facebook is so destructive? Because everybody's looking for that touch to say, I love you. Everybody's looking for that friendship that we're lacking. It's like, man, I need a friend. I hear it more than ever. I need a friend. I'm lonely. I need a friend. I need a friend. I need a friend. And the craziest thing is that we go off on our separate ways in our own lives. We get so busy, and that what we desire the most, we fail to give anybody else, realizing if we would give it, if we would show ourselves to be friendly, we would get friends. We would satisfy each other's needs. And then when we don't get it, and we're not getting it in church, we're not getting it as Christians, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Well, that church just, they're nice people, but they don't really mean what they say. Well, the problem is everybody has the same problem. They all want the same thing, but they don't know how to obtain it, so they all go their own way and miss exactly what they want. Nobody communicates it. How many times have you watched movies where both of them love each other, but none of them tell each other, and so then it doesn't happen, and like all through the movie, and then I find myself, because again, I'm with three women, so I watch chick flicks, and so I find myself going, dude, just talk to her. Right? I mean, I'm yelling at the screen. Or I'll look at my wife and go, if he would just tell her or if she would just tell him and they would just communicate this clearly, they'd be married and this show would be over. Right? Right? How many men, how many are with me? Amen. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. And so it's like, just communicate this, but we don't communicate it, and we both desire the same thing, but we don't communicate it, and then we drift apart, and then all of a sudden, everybody, we start judging them. And do you see where the good goes to the bad and it gets corrupt and more corrupt and more corrupt, all because we lack communication? We lack the going forth and doing what God said to do, and that was to be friends, to be friendly, to love one another. I'm telling you guys, our contacts determine who we are, but if we don't have contacts, then guess what? We start fading away, and then we find anybody that's willing. Here's an interesting fact. This is where I crossed the line. I don't mean to, but this is reality, guys. And you know me, I don't run from it. I probably should. But in school, they have groups. Well, the homosexuals have created a group in the schools that are drawing kids at an unbelievable rate. An unbelievable rate. And I was reading an interview where a few of them were interviewed, and they said, and it was some boys that were interviewed, and the boy said, I would never participate in the act because I don't like it and I don't agree with it. But man, the attention I get and the love that comes from everybody surrounding me just keeps drawing me back to it. But we as Christians, I got to breathe because I'm about to get excited right now. How frustrating is it that we desire the same thing, but we don't give it? And as a whole, now listen, there's some of you in here, man, you are rocking. You go up to the people, you say hello, you love on them, you call them. Man, you're doing some amazing things. So please, this isn't like a blanket covering everybody. This is just putting it out there that if we would love them the way these corrupt groups are loving them, or supposedly loving them, all it is a lust of the flesh, and they realize if they just give them this false sense of security, that it'll draw them to them. Guys, we need to do the same thing. We need to love one another. I'm going to tell you, when widows happen, guess what? Widowers and widows, we need to get on that person. We need to love that person. Why? Because, man, they just lost the greatest love in their life. We need to surround them as Christians and say, I love you. I am here for you. How can I help you? Listen, our contacts will make the biggest difference in our life and in our character of who we are and who we become. How many times have people said, I can't believe I'm doing what I'm doing? And you go back and you look and you find that there was a break in relationships and it caused them to go over to an area that they never would have went to in a million years if somebody had just been there for them. Guys, we need to step up. Kids, we're losing kids by the droves. Why? Because nobody's stepping up to fill that void because dad's not. You realize, man, dads aren't in I think, like 70-some percent of homes now? That's devastating. And people say, and by the way, the media says, we don't need men. Women have it under control. But I'm going to tell you that dad, men, get into the lives of those kids. We're losing them because we've lost the dads. Dads make, I'm going to tell you, society has degraded the men. Society has made men to look stupid and silly and ignorant. And I'm going to tell you what, God designed men to be in children's lives to make the difference. Because if you have do you take a child where the dad's been in the life or a man figure, has a father figure has been in that child's life? 9 times out of 10, they take the right road. And some of you say, well, I know kids that are taking a bad road and dad's been there. No, dad might have been in the same house, but was he in their life? We need men to step up and be men. And ladies, you need to allow them to fulfill their role. And men, you need to quit running from that role. I'm telling you, when we talk about contacts, the people that are in our lives, those who we bring into our life, man, we need to surround ourselves with the right people. And don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid if somebody is not doing right to go, hey, listen, let me tell you something, man. Because I'm your friend, because I love you, what you're doing is wrong. I'm not going to partake in it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And you need to stop. You go, well, it's none of my business. Hello? Listen, when a thief steals, it becomes your business because you pay for it. I pay for it. We need to make a difference. The Bible says that the word of God is good to do what? To edify and to rebuke. We need to exercise that. But that's what a true friend will do. You know, I've had so many people call me up. And some of them don't even like me. And they'll call me up. And they'll say, I need to ask you a question. And I know they don't like me. And I'll say, well, why are you calling me? Because I know you really don't appreciate me. And you go, really? You're that honest? Yeah. And if you're ugly in my house, I'll tell you to leave. This happened before. We've invited guests over for dinner and they got rude. And I went, dude, you need to take your family and your bottom and get out of my house. To which everybody went. And he goes, oh, it's not like that. No, it's exactly like that. Goodbye. Why? Because I'm not going to be around that. And so I've had people call me up who don't even like me, but you know why they call me up? Because they know I'm going to tell them the truth. Not because I don't like them or I do like them, but because they know I'm just going to be honest with them. And you know, we need to be that way. Our contacts, listen, you're going to contact me because you know that I love you or you know I'm going to be honest with you. Our contacts determine the direction that we go. And I'm telling you guys, it's okay to be honest as long as you're honest with love. But we need each other. We cannot do it on our own. We just can't. As much as we'd like to sometimes, we can't. It's funny. I was talking earlier, and I said, you know, here's the craziest thing. I really don't like to public speaking. I really don't. And every time I got to get up here, I got to go to the restroom beforehand. And so, you know, I run and I go and then I come up here and I'm like, all right, Lord, if you don't do this, I'm not going to be able to do this. And Lord, I'm just going to collapse and fall down. And Lord, you got to, I mean, because honestly, the real desire is to be a recluse. I like to just hide out and go, man, I don't know anybody. I'm invisible. You can't see me. But we need each other. We need each other. Proverbs 27:17 says this. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Nine times out of ten, you've been encouraged, learned the most, pushed the hardest by a true friend that made you uncomfortable. That's when the difference was made. Not a friend that comes along and goes, and knowing you're wrong, goes, it's all right, you needed to do that. You had the right to do that. Well, if you were sinful, you didn't have the right to do that. You need a friend who's going to go, man, I know that they're an idiot, but so were you. And they're going to look at you and go, how dare you? All right, well, when you see the truth, call me back. I love you. You know, I mean, we need that. Iron sharpens iron. It builds character. We're supposed to build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So he's talking to the Thessalonians, and they were building one another because he went in and he taught them the word of God and taught them truth. And he says, you know what? You need to comfort each other and edify one another. He's talking to the church. And we need to do that. And listen, sometimes it's difficult because, you know, the truth is, after all week, sometimes you just want to go, man, I'm going home and I'm hiding out. Right? Pull the blinds. If somebody, it's really funny because somebody will knock on our door. And if my kids, if my girls don't know them and they don't know who it is, obviously they're not going to open the door or answer it. And praise Jesus for that. But they'll see, you know, they see them coming. And then they hide like in this spot where nobody can see them. Till the doorbell quits ringing and they look and then everybody leaves, whoever it is walks away and then they're on the phone. Somebody's here! The truth is, that's the way we feel sometimes, isn't it? It's like, let me hide, let me draw the, man, put the car in the garage so they think we're not home. Park it down the street so nobody sees it, you know? I mean, sometimes we don't want to be bothered, but the truth is, we need to comfort one another and edify one another. We need God's people holding us accountable. We need it. And so who are you associating yourself with? Because that will determine who you are. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. I love this passage for many different reasons. But Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Go ahead, 4:10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We need each other. 11. Again, here's what he's doing with that word again. It's not like he's letting it go. What he's reiterating. He's kind of emphasizing what he just said. He says, look, again, let me tell you another way that you might grab hold of this and understand it. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? We need each other. act like I didn't hear anything. 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Now watch this. Listen, watch how this all of a sudden, that quick changes. Though one may be overpowered by another, Two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. All of a sudden, here's what we have. There's one all alone, but then his friend comes along, and so the two can ward off. But then he says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That third one is God. God says, listen, I'm coming in. Where two or more are gathered together, what's he say? I'll be there. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God says, in Ecclesiastes here, he says, listen, if you're alone, you're going to get your butt whooped. That's street talk. And it says, if there's two of you that come together, you got a better chance of coming out on top. But man, when I get involved, it's victory. This is the way we should live. This is what we should do. When we bring people into our lives, who are the people that we're bringing into our lives? Do you realize that there is not one lost person that I hang out with that I knew before I got saved? And you go, well, how are you going to win them? Listen, I shared the gospel with them. I've invited them to church. I've done so many things. And you know what? After they rejected it, then I went, okay, hey, God bless you, man. I love you, but we don't have anything in common anymore. And I'm not going to subject myself to go back to the lifestyle that God has taken me out of. And some people go, well, I'm not strong enough to do that because I need my friends. But are they really friends? Are they destroying? Listen, have they brought goodness in or have they brought grief in? Man, I've talked to so many people and they say, oh, these are my friends. We've been friends since child, you know, we were children, blah, blah, blah. And I go, do they bring a lot of drama into your life? Oh, drama, you don't even know the half of it. You know what I would do? You ain't a friend. Because we don't need that, guys. I'm going to tell you, it makes our life miserable when we hang around ungodly people. Okay, it makes my life miserable when I hang around ungodly people. Anybody with me say amen. It really does. A horse can pull 1,000 pounds. One horse can pull 1,000 pounds. But you know, when we get the right person that come together with us, and they're godly, and they're thinking like we're thinking, and their plans are like our plans, in other words, they want to honor God with their life and do what's right, and so we bring them along. Here's the same thing that happens with horses. If you have one horse, they can pull 1,000 pounds. By the way, when you hear like one horsepower or 250 horsepower under the hood, you know, of a car, that's calculated to horses. So now you understand where it comes from. And so, but when you bring a second horse together, you bring two of them, how much can they pull? 3,000 pounds. So you have one horse who can pull 1,000 by himself. You bring another horse with him, and all of a sudden, they can pull 3,000 pounds together. The difference that it makes. But let me tell you something. If you bring, and dog sleds are huge for this, huskies. You brought a breed of huskies together to pull a sled, and man, they will pull. And they're in sync, and they go, and they go, and they go, and they go. And if you take one husky out, and you add a different kind of dog in there that doesn't pull, or is not a husky, because they can't think like a husky, they can't work like a husky, they can't do what huskies do, all of a sudden, it throws the whole pack out of sync, and they can't pull hardly anywhere. And if they do, they end up dragging the new dog. But they usually won't drag the dog because they don't want him in the pack. They know that that off dog is going to ruin their run. And so we go, yeah, my thought is, if animals know this, and we're above animals, amen, some of us, most of us, we should be smart enough to figure this out. I used to, I can't say who it is, but I have some family members, and they would, they've had a few divorces and remarries and a few times and whatnot, and I told them, I said, listen, there's no way that you can be with another person until you can be with yourself. You can't love somebody else until you know how to love yourself, and you can't love yourself until you love God. So how can we figure we're going to have the right contacts if we're not right ourselves and we don't put God in the mix first? How can we do this? We can't. We need God. We need to be comfortable with who we are so that we can bring the right people into our lives. If you're not comfortable with who you are, you'll bring anybody into your life. Even if it's for that moment of pleasure, you think it's that moment of pleasure, but it ends up being horrific. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is friend who sticks closer than a brother. And who's the friend? It's Jesus. And so we need to have Christ in our life first. He sets the example. He allows us to understand the Holy Spirit. And so here's what we got to do, guys. And I'm closing with this. We need to pick our friends wisely. Just because they're nice doesn't mean they're your friend. Just because they invite you over to join them doesn't mean that it's a good invite. Pick your friends. Pick them wisely. And do not allow loneliness or peer pressure or family pressure to control your decisions. I tell people all the time, I'd rather have you mad at me than God mad at me. I'd rather have you away and God here than God away and you here. Because I'm going to tell you, my God will fulfill all of my needs. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. My God will die for me. My God loves me to the ends of the earth, knowing everything about me, still loves me. My God says, come to me just as you are. I don't care. Are you a friend that can do that? Are you a friend that's willing to do that? So I'll never jeopardize my God for anybody. And when we take that mentality and run with it, God will fulfill every need you have. Physically, spiritually, and mentally. But when you invite somebody into your life that's not right with God, things are going to happen, and they might even feel good. Yes. But things are going to happen where you might turn around and go, I can't believe I did such a thing. Why would I do such a thing? Why would I allow that person to touch me? Why would I? I'm going to tell you, when you're right with God, your heart's right, your mind's right, your spirit's right, and you are complete, you don't need anything else to fulfill that. But when you're right, anything else that comes along is going to be a compliment to you, not a hindrance. Get right with God, and our contacts will be right. Don't be afraid to be rude, because I'm thinking, how is it that we have no problem being rude to God when we enjoy our sin? But we can't be rude to people to enjoy our God. I think we got to get it right. Contacts. Who is in your life that is helping you, that it makes a difference, that complements your life, and who's in your life that is just pulling and drawing from you and exhausting you? Get rid of those and keep the ones that are going to help you get to the next level. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you fulfill our every need and our every desire. And Lord, we don't need to outsource ourselves to be complete if we'll just allow you in. And so, Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every one here today, Lord, and that as they look at their friends, Lord, as they look at their contacts, that you would expose those that they don't need, and Lord, challenge them to discard them. And Lord, that you would be the one that they choose to bring in to fill all the voids in their life. And then, Lord, that we would pay attention to the hurting, brothers and sisters. And Lord, we would focus on lifting up others, that we would be the one that is a contact that enhances their life rather than hinders it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to struggle to pick the right friends. You're going to struggle to pick the right mate. You're going to struggle to be right with your spouse. You're going to struggle to be the one that God wants you to be, the influence that God wants you to be. And so if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to change that today, because if you change that today, it'll change your every day from hereafter. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you believe that Jesus died on the cross, you believe He died for your sin, you believe He conquered death and hell, you believe He's at the right hand of the Father. You don't understand it all, but you believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Now listen, the words are not what saves you. It is your heart condition where you believe and you mean it in your heart of hearts that you are ready to allow Jesus Christ to be the Savior of your life, the King of your life, the Lord of your life. And if that's your desire today, and by the way, let me say this. Just because you ask Jesus to be your Savior does not mean that your life is going to go on easy street. It's probably won't. It'll probably get harder actually for a while, because all of a sudden you'll see truth as truth, and Satan doesn't like that, and he's gonna want to derail you if he can. So I'm not gonna pretend that by receiving Christ as your Savior that all of your problems are going to go away. They're not. But I will tell you this. He will bring a peace to carry you through your problems. And so if you're here today and you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is believe. And I like to lead you through this prayer, because the prayer gives you an absolute time, day, account, an act that you purposely did to surrender your life to Christ. And so you pray this prayer with me quietly in your heart if you wish to have Jesus as the Lord of your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I have lied, cheated, stolen, looked at things, whatever it is, whatever you have done. Jesus, I am not perfect, and you know that. I'm a mess, and you know that. I have the wrong friends, but Jesus, you know that. But right now, I want your hand, and I want your guidance on my life. And so right now, I call you Lord. I believe it in my heart, and I surrender all to you. If that's your desire, if that's your heart, if you truly believe that Christ died on the cross and is the Savior of the world, the Bible says you're saved.